chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And we've been dealing with this for quite some time. And Lord willing, we plan to move on to other passages in regards to the Abrahamic covenant. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Now that's where we've stopped. Now we come to the next part of the what we got is four provisions here. And thou shalt be a blessing, number one. And I will bless them that bless thee, number two. And curse him that curseth thee, number three. And number four, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now this covenant has, as I mentioned before, has many provisions in it. And they're not just provisions directed toward Abraham and his seed, but they're also provisions that are directed to us Gentiles as well. And so it's a very pertinent, vital covenant for us to consider, not to mention that it's in the Word of God. But we could say that in these portion that we're going to deal with this time, we have four provisions. We have three blessing provisions and one cursing provision. So we could say to those who are big on positive thinking, you folks who think the cup is always half full, not half empty, this is a positive message. Matter of fact, three out of four is more than half full. So anyway, we can look at it from that standpoint too. We want to look at the fifth provision, and that is the blessing to others provision is what I call it. And Genesis 12:2, and I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Abraham was a great blessing to the people of his day. Think of his nephew Lot. What a great blessing he was to Lot. He took him under his wing, if you will, and let him have the choice of whatever land he wanted. And he put others before himself. And we see that not only that, but he came to his aid. So he was a blessing not only to Lot, but also to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, as wicked as they were. He was a blessing because what did he do? He went and sent his army of servants there to help them defeat the kings of the east that came against those countries. And he was a great example to those around him, the pagan nations and so forth. So he was a blessing. But he is a blessing to us today in many ways. And I'm not going to get into a lot of that until we get to a little bit to this next part. But I was talking to Brother Pack yesterday, and we were talking about getting older, not being able to do as much as maybe we have in the past. And we talked about how that our sphere of ministry changes as we get older in different phases of our life. And even when we pass on, I tell Brother Pack, I said, I can look back at saints who have passed on and the memory of what they had done in faithfulness to God encourages me today. When I look back at their life, it's a great encouragement. So they being dead, they still speak to me as their testimony stays with me. And so we can say that because they have the inspired record of the Word of God that Abraham is a blessing to us now. Thanks be to God preserving His Word. We see that Abraham's faith, to his faith, which was impossible to please God without it, his faith is a great encouragement. He not only had saving faith, but he had exercised that faith. Abraham's faith is not like ours in some ways. In some ways it was, but in other ways it makes ours look pathetic. Because think about it. You know, we think, I'm going to pray believing that so-and-so is going to be healed. You know, that God's going to heal them of their cold. Okay? Great faith, you know. It may have, humanly speaking, happened anyway on the normal course of things in God's providence. But the worldling could say, oh, well, that's just something that happens all the time, whether you pray or not, whether you have faith or not. But here we have Abraham, his faith. His faith was such, first of all, him or his wife, they couldn't have never had a baby in their old age. And yet, Abraham believed God. This was something supernatural. That you know, at that age, it would even be able to have children. Okay? So, that was supernatural faith. Then also, think about Abraham as he went up to Mount Moriah. And he went up there to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. What was he doing? The scriptures tell us that he believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. And that was miraculous, supernatural faith that makes our faith look very tiny. He's a great encouragement to us, to inspire us. So he's a blessing to us even today. But now, sixthly, the sixth provision, I should say, second point, we see the blessing to others' provision on a worldwide scale. One of the things, and I want to try to stay with the scriptures, I could bring a bunch of different examples of different other things, and I'll just touch on a few things as we think of Abraham and his seed and the blessings that have come as a result. We find that, physically speaking, many technological advances have come through the seed of Abraham. You know, the jump drive that we have, that came and it was developed in Israel. The little microscopic robots and pill cameras all were developed in Israel. The medical progress and innovations, intelligence and counterintelligence, information, even cherry tomatoes was something that was developed in Israel. And part of it is because, with all their faults, they do have the foundation of the Old Testament. And in that Old Testament, we find principles of a work ethic, of hard work, that they have by and large applied themselves to, though not all of them with the right reasons and all that. But if we apply God's word, we can expect to have blessings. And but Jews are a famously accomplished group of people when you consider that only 0.2% of the world are Jews. That's it. But 54% of the world chess champions are Jews. 27% of the Nobel physics laureates are from to Jews. 31% of the medicine laureates are to Jews. This is no accident. It's not good luck. It's God's blessing. And that's the it is part of the blessing God is going to bless all families of the earth. Now I know that's just a physical thing, but we find there in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, part C, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now it doesn't stop there. Says in thee, you could say, oh, well, he's talking about Abraham. It's enlarged upon and elaborated upon in Genesis 22:18, where it says, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So it has reference to not just Abraham, but to his seed as well. Now, the spiritual aspect of this provision is the most important aspect of it, because it has blessings that go on into eternity. And we find that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 it says this, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." It's all centered around Jesus Christ. All the promises of God, the scriptures say, are yea and amen in Christ. So we've got to be careful. And this is where people go overboard in their support of Israel. And that it's like everything they do is great. And we should support everything they do. It has to be centered around Jesus Christ and the Word of God. If they're doing something wrong, we should not support what they're doing. The physical and literal fulfillment is going to be realized during the millennium. And during the millennium, there's a reference in Psalm 72:17. Speaking of the King of Kings, speaking of Christ, speaking of Abraham's seed, it says, "His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed." So, we're going back again to what? That all the families of the earth, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through the seed of Abraham, namely Christ, that seed, but we're referring to all the nations of the earth, both Jews and Gentiles. But how else is all the families of the earth blessed through the seed of Abraham? Well, Romans chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision?" Paul says, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Much, every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God." You know, we have the Word of God because of people of the seed of Abraham, both Old and New Testament. There's Jewish blood, if you will. Now, those writers, we have the Word of God because of those who are seed of Abraham. It's part of fulfilling that promise that God had said that you're going to be a blessing, you and your seed are going to be a blessing to all nations and all families of the earth. We find that in the next provision, the seventh provision is a blessing of those who bless provision. And that is Genesis 12:3a. "I will bless them that bless thee." Now, we see that this is a blessing that was then, and it's on into the future. Notice Jesus' blessing. In spite of their rejection of Him, He saves a remnant. He's blessed them. And there's a restoring of the nation that's going to occur. We find that in the Old Testament scriptures. We also see it in that prayer we mentioned on Sunday. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem that killeth the prophets. He speaks there in the last part of that passage, how that you shall not see me again until what? Notice there in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, Jesus clarifies something that is going to happen. And we see that God's providence in restoring the nation as we know it today, that there's going to be Jews during in the promised land. Notice it says, "For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." They're going to see him when he comes to, who's he talking about? Jerusalem. People's going to be there in Jerusalem. partly because they have a sanctuary, if you will, there in that country and this nation that's called Israel today. But then we see not only what Christ said, but what Paul said. The Jews were his worst enemies. And yet, he says, I wish I could be accursed from Christ so that my countrymen, the Israelites, could be saved. That's how he could be a blessing to them. Having that kind of attitude and mindset. We look at our country. Our country has always been a supporter of Jews and of the nation of Israel. We have been blessed. There's no question we've been blessed. And I could go into a lot of different things that happen because of our various blessing or cursing of Israel, where we've had trouble, we've had blessing because of it. We see that, we may ask the question, how can we bless Abraham and his seed? Well, the Hebrew word here, bless, is the word barek, and it comes from the word barak, and it denotes a spiritual and physical enrichment, abundant in quality and or quantity because of the posture of the heart. And it means to give honor to a person or service to another. In other words, the God of Shem, the God of Abraham and his seed, this God, it says, I will bless them that bless thee. He's going to personally bless those individuals and or those nations with fruitfulness and prosperity spiritually and physically, who give honor and preference to Israel, the descendants of Abraham, by offering her a helping hand because they have postured their heart toward God. Now, stay with me. How can we do that? How can that be done specifically? Number one, I think we ought to pray for the salvation of Israel. We ought to pray that God would convert them. That's the best thing we could do, is to pray for them. Matter of fact, we find there in Psalms 122 and verse 6, pray, here's a command, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper that love thee. In other words, bless them that God's going to bless them that bless Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How can there be true peace in Jerusalem except that they turn to the Prince of Peace? Amen. You see, we pray for them. It's another way, I guess you could say, for praying for thy kingdom to come. Because that is when it's really going to happen. In fullness and in true and everlasting peace. Now, we understand. Paul said that there were Judaizers in his day who were enemies of the cross of Christ. But what about them? What does the scripture say? It says to love our enemies, to bless them that curse us, and do good to them who spitefully use us. That's what we're to do. Whether they're Jews or Gentiles, that's what we're to do. But we have a special blessing attached when we bless Abraham and his seed. And another way we can bless Israel is by reproving them when they do wrong.
Amen.
You know, that's a true friend. A true friend is not going to stroke you every time and try to only say the good things. But a true friend is going to bring out things in a good way where you need some work. You need some help. You need to be reproved because of sin in your life. That's a true friend. And if we are going to be a blessing to Israel, we must reprove them in the right spirit, not with a holier than thou or hateful spirit as if we're better than them. We're nothing. Who makes us to differ? God does. So I have no reason to look down on them, but to reprove them in a way, recognizing that I too am a sinner, recognizing that I too deserve damnation in hell. That's how we can be a blessing, by reproving them in that spirit, reproving them for rejecting Christ, reproving them for hindering the gospel of Christ, reproving them for whatever greed, deception, or whatever else they might be involved with. And then another way we can bless Israel is to tell them the gospel. That's what they need to hear. There may only be a remnant, according to the Word of God, but we need to share the gospel. What does the Scripture tell us? Preach the gospel to every creature. That includes Jews and Gentiles. Every creature. I'm reminded of some natives in a third world country who, when they heard that they're just preach the gospel to every creature, they started preaching to the plants and preaching to the animals. And of course, we're talking about human creatures here. But we're to preach to the Jews and the Gentiles. But there's a special blessing when we bless the seed of Abraham by sharing the gospel with them. And then, and it might be tempting for us to say, well, there's only a remnant, so I'm not going to say anything to them. Well, there's a blessing attached to it. And so, it would be good for us to share the gospel with them. And then by supporting their nation and their God-given right to the promised land in whatever biblical way that we can. Now, this is true of the physical seed and the spiritual seed of Abraham. Let's don't forget that. We are Abraham's seed as well because of Christ. But it's also true of the physical seed, as we see in the end time events. God's going to keep His promise to bless us when we bless Israel. Do we really want to scale back God's blessings upon us? Think about how serious that is. Could it be we're not having the blessings that we could have because we have not looked at this particular passage and applied it biblically? But now lastly, in the eighth provision, or the cursing to those who curse provision, it says in Genesis 12:3b, and curse them that curseth thee. The Hebrew word here is the word arar, and it means to bind with a spell, to hem in with obstacles, to render powerless, to resist. The word used to curse thee is kalal, and it means to be small, to be lessened, to be insignificant, to be of small worth, to execrate, to execrate, to bring a curse upon oneself. And so when you bring these two together, you have a disturbing picture. Those who curse you, God saying, those who would impose a barrier upon Abraham and his seed, those who belittle and hate and call down judgment on Abraham and his descendants, those that would treat him lightly, I must curse. God said He must do it. The word I must speaks of spiritually and speaks of physically. Now, it may not necessarily mean a spiritual in the sense that they're reprobates, but it could apply that way. If somebody's who's saved, they can have spiritual blessings withheld from them. Pronouncing, God Himself is doing the judging. God Himself is pronouncing the curse upon any individual or upon any nation who curses Israel. God, they bound themselves in a way, in a curse that renders them powerless to resist their own destruction. I want us to notice something too in Zechariah 2:8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Now, I want you to notice, this was prophesied after the Israel had the kingdoms with Solomon and David as king. And some people cut it off there and they say, okay, God's done from that point on. He's done with Israel. Well, notice this is after all that in the book of Zechariah. And so this is after that. And it's true today that those that touch, you ever been touched on the eye, or somebody's messing with you and they're trying to mess with your eyes, when you try to touch somebody's eyes, it's no laughing matter. You're going to have to be dealt with. And when you touch the apple of God's eye, God's going to deal with that person. Those who touch Israel in that way are touching the apple of God's eye. But we have many examples. We have the heathen nations who cursed Israel, Egypt, the Philistines, the Canaanites, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and on we could go, even up to the Germans. This is really Satan working through all these nations and individuals to curse Israel. This past administration, Obama, his policies have sought to curse Israel. And look what's happened to our country. There's no accident, no coincidence. Notice how Catholicism's hatred of the Jews and love of the Mohammedans and the Mohammedans' hatred of the Jews. I don't want to be in their camp. And there's no way. I should, if I'm going to hate anybody, I should hate the Mohammedans more than the Jews. The Antichrist and his one world government and their hatred of the Jews in the future, and the curse that shall befall them when Christ shall return to avenge Israel with his wrath. And we see that it's becoming more and more that way, isn't it? It's getting ready to fulfill the prophecies that are spoken of in the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. And Jesus, as he spoke during the end times in Matthew chapter 23 and 24. So what does it mean to curse Israel? By not sharing the gospel with them? Treating them as if they're reprobates, as somebody that's without hope of salvation, who's cursed of God? Doing nothing to draw them to Christ. In other words, being hateful toward them. What is it? Our when we show the love of Christ, when we shine the light of the gospel, the way that we live our lives, that is a drawing, has a drawing effect when we show people the love of Christ. But to be hateful and doing hateful things toward them is, as it were, cursing them. By supporting those who desire to harm Abraham and his seed, the nation of Israel, we're cursing them. I'm not going to support the Mohammedans. I'm not going to support the Catholics. I'm not going to support the UN, who is also seeking to destroy Israel. I'm not going to be cahoots with them. But again, I make the same application. This is true of the physical seed of Abraham and the spiritual, those who are children of God by faith. Why would we want to bring curses upon ourselves? We have enough curses, if you will, in the sense that we get chastised because we sin. Why would we want to bring something else upon our life to make it that much more difficult? Should we not bless Him who has blessed us by God's grace? Would it not be the height of ingratitude to curse them whom God's blessings have come? Would it not charge God with folly for choosing Israel of all people? So let us bless God by blessing Abraham's seed, Israel, praying for their salvation, praying for their protection, praying they'll do what's right. And may we not incur God's curse by doing anything that would bring harm to Israel by the things that we say or do. Well, we'll close at this time and go ahead and begin our season of prayer.